Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The John Heyman Report is brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips haircuts app and check in. And by Brother Supply, New York's number one source for ice hair, P-Tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. The legendary John Heyman. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Evan?
Walk me off of the Kool-Aid, all right? Yesterday, when Dom hit a bomb and Pete Alonso hit a bomb and the Mets crushed the overrated first-place Minnesota Twins.
That's our team. That's our team, the Twins.
I'm just talking trash.
Okay.
And the Mets won again, their fourth straight. I started to believe. Tell me I'm crazy, John.
Well, you may be, but I bet there are people in the organization who are starting to believe, too, or starting to think, you know what, let's at least delay the sale. And what sale are they going to have anyway? Wheeler's injured at the moment. So put that aside and think like you're thinking. You never know. The wild card race is a joke this year. I mean, let's be honest. It's terrible, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got, seven or eight mediocre teams vying for it, and the Mets are one of those teams. They're in it. At this point, you got to put them on the chart as on the list, but at the bottom of the list is one of the teams. The only team that's not in is Miami at this point.
Yes. No, and we were talking about that earlier, and I did some math that right now the Milwaukee Brewers are 50-47. They are technically the second wild card team. That is a pace that would get them to 83.5 wins. So let's say 84, we'll round up. What does that number ultimately look like? I mean, are we looking at something in the low to mid-80s, or do you think eventually?
No, I don't think low 80s. I mean, obviously, we've seen a team win the World Series with 83. The Cardinals did that. But, no, I think, one of these teams is going to emerge, and probably two. I mean, there are so many of them. Someone's got to win these games, right, I think. So, but I do think if you get to 85, you got a shot. 82, 83, I don't think so, but 85, you got a shot. So that's still a long way from where they are right now, though, let's be honest.
So, no, you're right about that. But here's how all of this impacts the Yankees. I mean, outside of the Miami Marlins, you could rationalize why the Cincinnati Reds, the Colorado Rockies, despite their struggles, the Mets, the Giants now who are red hot, why none of them would sell. What are you hearing as far as, let's start with the Giants, who the Mets are about to play, a team we've talked a lot about because of Madison Bumgarner, Will Smith, some of the relievers that they have. What's the thinking in San Francisco right now? The trade deadline's almost here. We're a week and a half away.
Yeah.
And yet, here they are. They're 2.5 games back.
Yeah, I mean, they can't sell today. I think their belief and intention all along was that they were going to be a seller. I never thought it was 100% because you never know with ownership, and we're talking about a guy who's helped them win three rings. But I think they were definitely going to do it. As if the Giants were what we expect them to be, this is shocking to me. I never thought the Giants would be in the race this late, and I'm sure they never did either. So they're certainly waiting, at the very least, reevaluating. I wouldn't guarantee he's going to be traded now, but I think, if they're at this stage, I think come July 31st, I think they probably will make that trade, but it's not going to be that easy. You know, they're 2-3 out of the wild card. You're talking about an all-time great. You can still get the qualifying offer draft choice if you hold on to him. So, you know, if things stay the same, I'm going to say it's, only slightly better than 50-50 that he is dealt.
And, this you can't make a deal in August thing is going to become a huge factor, because I think it would have been easier for a team like the Giants or even the Mets or the Pirates to say, all right, we don't really have to rush through this because we can sneak some guys through waivers and make an August deal. With that out the window, I think that almost has to push teams to follow what the White Sox did a couple of decades ago, where you make white flag deals that could really alienate a fan base.
Yeah, generally the pressure definitely is on. Yeah, the White Sox were 2.5. I know if the Giants are 2.5 again, I don't know if they alienate their fans. Their fans are pretty excited about the fact they've won three World Series this decade, so I'm not sure they do that. Bumgarner, they have to make that decision anyway. He would not get through waivers. So that's one where the July 31st remains the same. But it does change the equation in total if you look at the whole picture.
Where is the value of Zach Wheeler right now?
Well, the people have to see him pitch. Otherwise, it's nothing. You know, you got to get on the mound and pitch. So, and the way he described it, impingement, we don't know if he's pitching by July 31st. So, I'm not counting that as a likely. We just did something on MLB Network, and we talked about six very good pitchers who could be on the market. We didn't even include him.
Wow.
So, I don't see it. I mean, impingement doesn't sound like a week to me. You never know if he gets on the mound. You know, the equation could change, but at this point, I'm going to count him as not to be traded.
You know, it's funny. Back in March, Joe and I were saying, "Boy, Zach Wheeler's not going to be a Met in 2020, but there is a way for him to be a Met." And I think everything that's happened this year has led to that. He hasn't had a great year. They can't trade him before the deadline. I don't think he's going to get necessarily the big contract he would have gotten a year ago.
Right.
And maybe it makes sense for both Mets and Wheeler to come together on a short-term deal for him to rework
right.
his value.
Well, I think he'll probably get the qualifying offer. The Mets have taken a chance on stuff like that before. They did it with Murphy, even though they had no intention to keep him. And, you know, he ended up going elsewhere. I think he gets the qualifying offer. And if things stay the way they are, I'm him. I'd probably take that qualifying offer.
Do you think that the Yankee fans should be big Met fans this week in the series against the Giants to really push the Giants out so they can get Madison Bumgarner?
I don't think they will look at it to that degree. I mean, at this point, it is kind of limited on who you might get, but I don't think the Yankees are that anxious. Let's be fair about it. We've talked about how they're looking for a pitcher, and they probably will get a pitcher, but their pitching hasn't been that bad, you know.
No, it hasn't.
So I don't think they worry about that. You know, we'll see. Maybe it's possible Texas is now coming back a little bit to the pack. That AL wild card is nothing like the NL wild card. Oakland is really good. The Rays are obviously good. Boston's in there. Cleveland's in there. So I think Texas may, you know, even though they have a year to go with Minor, he may end up getting traded. And, you know, Bauer, I'm not going to rule it out. I was on with Dan O'Dowd, and he made some really good points. He's going to be close to $20 million in arbitration. Cleveland's not going to be able to afford that. And, you know, they'll be able to get something for him since he's got a year to go.
Yeah, but how do they manage to still compete? I mean, they're in it.
Yeah, I said 10% chance or something like that, or 20%, whatever I said. And I think it's difficult to thread the needle, but he thinks that they may try to do it, and it can be sold more easily because Bauer has basically come out and said he's not going to sign long-term anyway. You know, he's going to go year to year, and he's not signing a contract. And normally that's hard for a team to sell, trading a star like that, but you know, knowing that there's only a year to go, it may not be so difficult for them.
Who has more value in your mind, Trevor Bauer or Marcus Stroman?
I think Trevor Bauer does. His contract is higher, but let's face it, the objective is winning. He's done more. Stroman's been a little more up and down. You know, there are other people who are bigger fans of Stroman than I am. So, you know, he did win the WBC. He's having a very good year. I would say Bauer has more value.
The reason I ask that, and they're both free agents at the same time. They both have 1 year of controllability next year where they'll get paid, and then they're free agents. I bring it up because that would make sense. If the Indians said, all right, let's flip Bauer, get prospects, then make a separate deal for Stroman, because they're trying to win. I mean, the people in Cleveland are desperate for a championship from that baseball team. And
yeah.
Right now,
well, they just got Clevinger back, and they're gonna get Kluber back, and they're
he
hoping
terrible
that
before he got hurt.
Carrasco, they're hoping that Carrasco. And we all hope that Carrasco gets
yes.
healthy and gets
yes.
back. You know, they're competing as is. Ramirez looks like he's on track. I mean, yeah, I agree. That's why I said 10%. You're gonna take a step back, but you do hear a lot of buzz out there about Bauer being talked about. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Syndergaard being talked about, but I'm putting that one aside. There's no way. I mean, the Mets do not, you know, they could trade. Syndergaard has 2 years to go, so they could do it in the winter. The Mets have not given up. They don't believe they can really be a rebuilding team in New York, and I get that.
Well,
and
but John,
it's not happening. So
the caveat with Syndergaard, whether it's now or later, is how do you replace him in the rotation? Like you said, the Mets are not rebuilding. They're going to try to win in 2020. So even if they got this really good return for Noah Syndergaard, they're not signing Gerrit Cole. So how do they even replace a guy like Syndergaard in the rotation?
Yeah, you can't do it. He's not going. I mean, I think it's going to be revisited, and it's being talked about now. I mean, obviously, we've seen that there are scouts out there looking at Yankee pro. I mean, they want an enormous amount, particularly from the Yankees, and even more.
Now forget the Yankees.
And you know what?
They're not making a deal with the Yankees.
Syndergaard has got more value than any of these other guys that we've discussed because he's got two more years to go and a fairly reasonable rate right now and an incredible talent. So Syndergaard, the asking price has got to be the highest on him. You know, when I've talked to the Yankee people, you know, they're willing to give up guys they aren't willing to give up for other players for him. They'd give up Frazier in a package. You know, it's got to be more than that.
So that basically means, and I've always assumed this, that the Yankees really don't give a damn about trading with the Mets, even if they are trading young players.
Yankees
that can
don't mind.
Stars.
No,
they don't mind. It's a Met issue,
right?
But
the Mets, we'll say this about the Mets, they will trade with their division rivals. They traded Asdrubal to the Phillies. They're willing to talk to the Braves. You know, they'll talk to them. But the Yankees, they do not want to trade.
I
believe they're not going to admit that, but that's my belief.
All right, slap me with the phone when I ask this question, all right? You can do that because I know it's crazy.
We're at a distance here, but okay.
All right, try it anyway. would the Padres trade me Fernando Tatis Jr. for Noah Syndergaard? Would they do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't do that, and that's another thing. Yeah, no chance.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm not slapping. It doesn't offend me, but they weren't willing to do it originally, and they weren't willing to do Paddock either. Chris Paddock, who had a fantastic game last night.
That guy would be something in New York. Can you imagine Chris Paddock in this town? Oh, my God. It'd be Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey part two, basically.
Well,
and he was great the other night. He had a no-hitter deep into the game.
Right, yeah. Which the San Diego's we know has never thrown a no-hitter.
I know. They're the Mets.
Well, no, the Mets have that no-hitter.
Mets. I know the Mets have a no-hitter. I'm saying
no, I thought you were
Mets.
Still putting an asterisk on
no,
that no-hitter.
No, I don't do that. I don't do that.
Okay, good for you, because it's a no-hitter. But, yeah, they were frustrated by what San Diego was willing to do. I think they would give them the infielder Urias, who Omar signed when Omar was with San Diego briefly. But Tatis Jr. is the guy they wanted, and, you know, that was a no-go. Omar actually signed Tatis Sr. as a player.
Yeah. No, so. I do remember that.
Yeah.
We're talking to John Heyman about baseball. All right. The Yankees, from what you hear, who do they like the most when it comes to starting pitchers? You said they want to give up more for Noah, so maybe he is number one.
Yeah, I think Noah's number one on their list.
I
don't particularly haven't really heard on what they think of Minor and Bauer, but I do know they like Robbie Ray, who is another guy who could potentially be traded. He hasn't been talked about as much. Maybe it's because it's the Diamondbacks and people just don't talk about the Diamondbacks, but they're definitely thinking about being a seller. Of course, they're in the wild card like everybody else in the National League. So, again, they got to thread the needle. Not so easy to do, but I do think they like Robbie Ray, and discussions there.
Here's the thing about Robbie Ray, all right? Now, I am a Robbie Ray-ologist, if you will, because I've watched almost every start he's made this year because I have some business reasons for that.
What?
Yeah, I have some business. He's on my fantasy team. It's
okay.
Not that complicated. So, 2 years ago, when Robbie Ray had that ridiculous year, you know, had a sub-3 ERA, was striking everybody out. Guy was unbelievable. Guy was amazing. Last year, he missed a bunch of time. He was okay. I've watched him this year. He's average. That's how I would describe him. He still walks a lot of guys. He's walking 4.5, 5 guys per game. Still striking out a lot of guys. I watched him last night. They gave him a ton of runs. 6 innings, 4 runs. Not going to kill him for it. But he's got basically a 4 ERA in the National League West. He's nice. He's still young. He's a lefty. I think he's got a really good upside. So from that aspect, I would definitely be drawn in, if I'm the Yankees, to bringing in a guy like Robbie Ray. No question. Here's the problem. I don't think Robbie Ray is putting you over the top. I think Robbie Ray's more of a depth, hey, maybe we get a lot out of him next year kind of thing. But if I'm trying to win a world championship, right, and I think that's the goal, right,
mm-hmm.
with the title, Robbie Ray, and Mike Minor's been great too, Marcus Stroman, these are all, to me, middle of the rotation depth guys. And I know Minor's had a great year. I'm not trying to dismiss what he's done.
Yeah.
The difference maker, despite his up and downness this year, is Madison Bumgarner. Do you agree with that statement?
You know, I do prefer Mad Bum to Stroman and the other guys who are likely to be traded. Of all the guys who I think will be traded, I think, and again, Mad Bum, we're not sure about that one because the Giants are in the race at the moment. I like him very much, but I wouldn't rate him over Minor. Minor, And I know you guys will not like this, or, and you're the only one there today, so I might not hear screaming, but Minor had the highest WAR of any pitcher, so he's obviously
you
throwing the ball.
I like WAR. I think I hate WAR more than even Joe does.
But he screams louder than
it's
you
true,
do.
True, he does. Now you're
yeah.
right.
Oh. Very good. Minor, I think, would have that value. And Syndergaard obviously does due to the talent. Mad Bum, the pedigree, Minor to the year that he's having. And I do think the year that someone's having probably plays into the value more than anything else. You know, I'm with you on Mad Bum, though. I would go for him. I think he's the guy who's likely to be, or at least more than 50% chance now, to be traded. I don't think Boyd's getting traded. I still think it's difficult to thread the needle with Bauer. You know, if you can get Minor, go get him. And I think Texas is realistic, so I think yeah. there's a chance he's traded.
How?
And I'm not ruling out Bauer. I'm not going to rule out Bauer being traded either, because I do think they are a team that considers everything.
Yeah, I get. But by the way, any concern about the Yankees adding another lefty? They're very heavily left-handed in their rotation, or does that not matter?
No,
to them?
I don't think
they
don't
so. Care.
Okay. I don't think
Fair
so.
Fair enough. Adding a reliever. You know, the Yankees have had a very good bullpen all season long. They've had their blips, Chapman, the other night. But I think clearly, especially on a day like today, they're playing a doubleheader. They're going to use the opener in game two. You never have enough relief arms. How aggressive is Brian Cashman going to be to add another top-line relief pitcher?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, we've heard they're connected to Giles, and you never know with the Giles-Stroman combo. And San Francisco's got a lot of pieces, too. Certainly, Will Smith has been fantastic this year. He's got a high value, but so Watson's been good. Dyson's been good. You know, you may not need to go crazy and get the closer, Will Smith, but they're going to. I think they're going to add someone in the pen too. They've been the best team in the league this year, and they want to fortify their situation. I mean, obviously, you know, there's no given. The Astros are a threat. You know, you got Verlander and Cole at the top of the rotation. Even if they haven't been at their best this year, they're a threat. So, you know, I think the Yankees will do what it takes to get what they want.
We're talking to John Heyman about Major League Baseball, his favorite sport. He loves talking about it. You tweet something consistently. It's starting to annoy me. Can I be honest with you about what it is?
Go ahead.
All right. You keep talking about how Cody Bellinger is making a run at Mike Trout for being the best player in baseball. Is that true? Do you tweet that?
I tweeted that, and I should have included the words this year. I should have included that. Now everybody would upset everybody, but I think in current terms, we're talking about right now. He's as good as anyone.
Okay,
there's a case to be made that he's as good as anybody.
Don't you think?
Obviously, the career would tell you Trout's
John,
the best. If someone wanted to ask me who's the best player, I only get one answer, I get Trout.
Okay, yeah. Here's the problem with that whole this year thing. So 2 years ago, couldn't you have said the same thing about Jose Ramirez?
Somebody might have said that. I would not have said that.
It was close.
No,
it is, right?
I would not have said that.
Come on. All right. Last year, would you have said that?
Jose Ramirez. Cody Bellinger is a fantastic outfielder with an incredible arm and incredible speed. Jose Ramirez is just a hitter, and even this year he's not even that. So.
Look, I'm not saying he was better than Mike Trout. My point was a
Mookie Betts.
Okay.
I think last year you could have said that.
Okay, and what about this year for Mookie Betts?
But I think my comment was you could make a case or someone could argue. I don't think I said he's as good as him flat out.
Making
but
a run,
I did
see,
get 1,600 people objecting to it, so I must have upset people.
It didn't. You know what? I shouldn't say I'm upset. Here's the issue. So a part of Mike Trout's brilliance is not just simply the fact that he leads the American League in home runs, RBIs, walks, on-base percentage, slugging, and OPS. That's not it. Part of what makes Mike Trout amazing is he does that every year.
Yeah, it's
That's
incredible.
Why he's
amazing.
Amazing.
He's one of the greatest players of all time. I don't think there's any dispute about that. I just meant for this year, but I overstepped. I got slapped down, and I understand. I'll be more careful next time.
I mean, and I'm not exactly.
He's the best. He's the best. But for this year, Bellinger, you can make a case. Bellinger's been on his level.
Where do you put Christian Yelich, by the way?
Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. I'm going to say Yelich is going to have to outhit them to be their equal, though, because Trout's a center fielder and a good one, and Bellinger is an outfielder and a fantastic one. You know, Yelich is fine in the outfield, but he isn't on their level
so
as an outfielder.
To you, it's easy. Bellinger is the MVP over Yelich, correct?
Yes, and I also count the fact that the Dodgers are the winner, you know, are going to be the winner.
Best team in the National League.
You know, I count that. I know we're going to have people who don't think that counts, but Milwaukee has been a disappointment, even with Yelich's. And they may get in a wild card, and if they do, they're in the playoffs, and he's certainly very valuable to get. Without him, they wouldn't have been in the playoffs, so I get that too. But the whole package of Bellinger and leading, being easily the best team on the best player on the best team and doing it as an all-around player, to me, has him well in front. Now, I said that earlier, too, that he's well in front, and I got killed, especially when Yelich got hot and his numbers looked better. But I think he's the clear choice at this point, despite the fact that Yelich is having an MVP-type season.
If you had to predict right now, at this very moment, on July, whatever the date is, will the Boston Red Sox make the playoffs?
You know, when people ask me that, I say yes. And then, but then of course, when they ask me about Oakland, I say yes also to that. And they ask me about Cleveland, I say yes. And I realize there's only two teams that can make it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll say yes. But you'll have to understand that I'm not just so confident. It's quite a race. The wild card teams are all deserving. Hats off to the Rays for doing what they do with the limited resources. And the Cleveland, pretty much the same thing. But, you know, it's a great race. The National League, you know, I don't think we're going to have an 82-win team in the playoffs, but we're going to have a mediocre team in the playoffs.
And you know what's funny? That mediocre team could go on a run and win the whole damn thing.
No question. We saw the Cardinals do it with 83 wins. It's happened, and the Mets came within one game,
you know,
as you know, in 1973.
You know,
and you
team?
Were not, you weren't even born.
I was
then.
Minus 10 at that point.
Minus 10.
Minus 10.
I started to think about it. Well, why even think about it? I mean, you're not even that's not even close.
It was not that. You know what team I think could do it? And I'm not just saying it because it was my preseason prediction. I'm saying it because I really believe it. I think the Nationals could do it, as crazy as it sounds, because if you've got Scherzer.
They have a 6 bullpen ERA.
Six. Okay, can I get to the part of
six,
why?
But actually, it's a palindrome. It's 6.06.
But hasn't it been better recently?
6.06 is improving.
I said overall.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, they got a lot of talent. I mean, they got a good nucleus. They got a great top of the rotation. But, I mean, the other teams with the 6 ERA, somebody tweeted, I think it was Barry Zvrluga of the Washington Post, tweeted that one of the 3 worst ERAs over the last 60 years. Now, their season's not over, and hopefully, for their sake, it gets a little better. But those other two teams were not good teams.
But, John, I'm going to bring up a football point. Can I make a football point to you?
You can.
So a few years
ago. As you know, I am pretending to be a football expert, so go right ahead.
So a few years ago, it was actually more than a few years ago. It was in 2006, if I'm not mistaken. The Indianapolis Colts, remember them? Football team?
I do remember them.
Okay, so they went out, they won the Super Bowl, and one of their biggest concerns going into the postseason that year was their inability to stop the run. Okay? In fact, if memory serves correct, they were ranked, of the 32 teams in the National Football League, 32nd in stopping the run.
Okay?
Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
Okay, so their first playoff game, they actually had to play on Wild Card Weekend, was against the Kansas City Chiefs, who were known for running the football. Their running back at the time was a guy by the name of Larry Johnson, not the basketball player. And you know what the Indianapolis Colts run defense did? They gave up nothing. Then the following week, they played the Baltimore Ravens. And you know what their run defense did? They gave up nothing. And then the following week, they played the Patriots. And the run game wasn't a big factor. It was mostly Peyton Manning with that great comeback. But their run defense was fine. So here's the moral of the story. In the regular season, the Indianapolis Colts gave up over 100 yards rushing on the ground every single game they played. I think they averaged giving up like 170. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They were the worst. They were the worst. And people like you said, the Colts can't win a Super Bowl because they can't stop the run. And you know what I remember thinking at the time? I said,
no.
I said,
I don't remember what you were thinking.
I was doing overnights at the time. I wasn't doing the midday show. But I said, you know, if they can, it doesn't matter. If they start stopping the run in January, who gives a damn that they let the Washington Redskins run all over them the 7th week of the year? It doesn't matter. So here's the point. When you tell me the National bullpen is bad, that's fine. You're not wrong. But if their bullpen is pitching better now and is pitching well in October, who the hell cares what their regular season bullpen ERA was? Just like the Super Bowl champion Indianapolis Colts of 2006. Microphone drop.
Well, that was all very interesting, but you know, they have to if they turn it around, it's possible. But to me, the bullpen losses are just debilitating psychologically, and they've had just a very, very bad number of them. And I just don't see them as a World Series winner. Now, if they, once they win the World Series or get to the World Series, you could tell me how wrong I was. But at this point, I think that they need to do something about that bullpen and not just hope, as the Indianapolis Colts, I guess, did, and hope for the better. They need to go out and get somebody, and they resisted on Kimbrel, and they're near the luxury tax threshold at 205 or wherever they are. So it's still possible to get a reliever, though, and they'll need to do it, to me. I think I've heard they're looking at starters, too, but they got to fix that bullpen, I think.
No, look, the bullpen needs to be better. I do agree with you.
It's not 606 is not good. No, it's almost like the Orioles.
Yeah, my point is it has been better, but I understand. John, do you think the Mets are going to make the playoffs or no?
Well, you know, I never like to go back on what I said. So what I said at the beginning, they were going to be a playoff team, and then I, you know, triggered by you saying it first, I said they were dead, right? So I cannot come back now. I'm not even eligible to say that, right? I'm ineligible.
Yeah, we're ineligible. You're right.
Yeah, I'm ineligible to say that.
That's a fair point. John, you're the best. Always good talking to you.
Same here.
John Heyman. By the way, I do want to be fair about that cult analogy, because I'm sure there's at least five people listening saying you got to mention Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders did get healthy, so that helped. He didn't play. I remember Bob Sanders missed a big chunk of that season, then came back for the postseason and certainly helped. But the point was they were a terrible, terrible football team against the run that year. They were awful. That was the biggest worry, more so than anything about Peyton Manning winning the big one. That, to me, was the most legitimate worry about that 06 Colt team going into the postseason, and they had to play wild card weekend, which is funny considering all the years they had where they didn't have to play wild card weekend, and they did a tremendous job against the run. They won the Super Bowl, and that was a big part of why they won the Super Bowl. Here's the point, and we've said this about the Yankees the last couple of years when they were one of the wild card teams. It's all about October. Now, you got to get there first, but once you get there, it's all about playing great baseball at the right time. That's why I think Madison Bumgarner's the guy. I can't sit here and argue that Bumgarner's having a better year than Mike Minor because he isn't. Or that Bumgarner's having a better year than Marcus Stroman because he isn't. I get that. But none of this matters if you believe the Yankees are good enough to win the division. I happen to. I think they are good enough to win the division. I think they're the best team in this division, trade or no trade. So I am envisioning October. And I trust Madison Bumgarner over any of those other pitchers mentioned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.